I told you that I'm an avid comic book reader. I told you I haven't read certain books, certain titles in a while because I've just been so distraught over what they've done, some of the writers, especially when it comes to the X-Men. The X-Men are my favorite superhero team. Now, I love all comics, Marvel, DC, Image, Wildstorm. I love all comics, but my heart is with Marvel. Yes, the Justice League trailer looks amazing. Goodness. Wonder Woman's trailer is just beast. You know, they should release a DVD of just the awesome trailers of the year. War of the Planet of the Apes, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Phenomenal. But my favorite is the X-Men. And the reason why I stopped reading the X-Men is like kind of what I told you last night, and follow me because I'm going somewhere. Back in the 90s, if there was a young mutant whose mutant powers were growing, the X-Men went and found them, and if the X-Men were going to train them, the mutant or the individual would have to move to Xavier's mansion. Stay with me. They would have to leave their mother, father, sister, brother, wherever they were, and they would have to come and live in the mansion. Because while in the mansion, as young mutants, they got to hang around older X-Men. And they were trained in how to use their powers, and they were discipled by older X-Men with the goal to make them become future X-Men. But the reason why they had to move into the mansion is because once they got in the X-Men's mansion, they were part of a family and in an atmosphere that would help them to grow. They were part of an environment that would help them to grow. So when in the comic, when they broke that up, it bothered me. Yeah, the X-Men still were a family to a certain degree, but they were a real broken family, not like they were in the 90s. I said all that to say this. We were talking about last night, this morning, our connection to God. But tonight I want to start dealing with our connection to the local church. And hear me when I say this. You don't have to go to church in order to become a Christian, but I don't see how you can be a Christian and not go to church. Rewind. You don't have to go to church to become a Christian, but I don't see how you can be a Christian and not go to church. And hear me when I say this. As long as I've been in youth ministry, and as long as I've been in college ministry, I have seen a lot of church kids come up in church, do the churchy things, know the churchy things to say, but soon as they get to college, one of the first things that drops in their life is their church attendance. We as believers do not go to church so we can check off a time card with God. No, we don't. The reason why the church is important for you as a believer, because what Xavier's mansion was to young mutants, that's what the church is to us. It's an atmosphere that helps us to grow. And let me say this. One of the worst things that Satan could ever deceive you into thinking is that you really don't need anybody else, and it's just you and God alone, and you are this solitary warrior for Christ. Satan will bash your head in with a rusted pipe if that is your mentality. We are called the body of Christ, and we are called the army of God, and both of those entities are not made up of one, but many. Wolverine has keen smelling and hearing and keen animal-like senses, and he has an incredible healing factor, and he was born with bone claws. Then when he went through the Weapon X program, his skeleton was covered with this unbreakable alloy called adamantium, and Wolverine by himself is lethal. Storm, Oro Monroe, has control of the weather, and she's not a thermometer but a human thermostat, and she can change the weather. Then you got Gambit, Remy LeBeau. Anything he touches, he can charge and throw it, and it explodes with explosive power. Then you've got Jubilation Lee, who makes these what looks like fireworks, but really, when you read the comics, she was on her way to be one of the most powerful mutants. And then you've got Bobby Drake, Iceman, who literally makes himself as living ice. It is just beast. And I would love to see Bobby date Elsa from Frozen, get together and just be beast. I mean, that would be just so awesome. But you got all these powerful X-Men that are powerful in and of themselves. But watch this. As powerful as all of them are, each of them has a weakness. And not only do they have a weakness, but as powerful as they are individually, they are more powerful as a team. What you've got to understand is this. Good seeds have to grow by being put in good soil. Your connection to God vertically is strengthened by the atmospheres you consistently put yourself in horizontally. So guess what? We go to church to hear the word of God, yes. And some people say, well, you know, I can read the Bible on my own. Well, yes, you can. But hear me when I say this. You don't know everything. We go to the house of God so that we may hear the word of God. Yes. But we also go to the house of God so that we can fellowship with other believers. And let me tell you something. I really believe, especially in the American church, the word fellowship is just watered down. And especially in the black church, when we say fellowship, most of us are thinking like eating chicken after church together. And that's not really fellowship. Fellowship is more than doing things together after church or doing things together like, you know, the youth going to play air hockey and all that kind of stuff. Those are activities, but fellowship is really doing life with other people. Doing life intimately with other people. Fellowship. I told you last night the difference between relationship and fellowship. There are a whole lot of people who's at church who see each other all the time and know each other in an associative way, but really don't have deep fellowship. Fellowship is when your life connects to my life connects to your life with the goal of helping one another spiritually. You need that. And hear me when I say this. You have your opinions and you have your convictions. I may change my opinions, but I will die for my convictions. Being consistently active and joined to the house of God should be a conviction that you as a follower of Christ make when you are young. Because let me tell you what happens, and I've seen it. In my own church, I've seen kids raised in Christian homes, giving their lives to Christ, get to college, and either want freedom from that or get so busy with school that they ignore that. And what starts to happen after a while is their spiritual life starts to tank. Watch this. And I had to talk to some of my youth and just kind of like confront them on this. Well, I just don't have time. You know, it's just so much to do. Don't have time for church. But you hit 3 parties in 1 week? Come on now. Hear me when I say this. and this is a law of life. Whatever is of personal priority to us, we will always make time for. Bottom line. Whatever is personal priority to us, we will make time for. And hear me when I say this. Hear me when I say this. When you are a child of God and you've given your life to Christ and you have an intimate connection with God, one of the ways to really know that a person is in tune with God is that they have a hunger for his word and they have a hunger for godly community. Godly community is so important. Put it to you like this. I told you I'm part of a group called Camp Gladiator. And y'all listen, I hate burpees. Oh my goodness. Burpees and squat jumps, and then a squat jump is like a star jump, and just all this. Oh my goodness. Now, there's a lot of stuff I like to do fitness-wise, but there's a whole lot of stuff I don't like to do. And then when my trainer makes up this weird, unorthodox, tormentive stuff on the spot and makes us do it. And then, like, all of our camps last an hour, and it'll be like 6:58, and he'll think up something new and for 2 minutes make us do. It's just crazy. But watch this. A lot of times I don't feel like going to camp. I don't. Especially after a hard day at work, I don't feel like going to camp, but I know I need to go. And you all, sometimes it is a fight to get there. And some people I know, they go straight from work to camp because they know if they go home and sit down, that's it. And the thing about it is this. Once I get to camp and actually step into the atmosphere, then I come alive. And I'm able to do it, but once I get there, if there's anything that Satan will always fight you on, he will fight to get you disconnected from the local body. My last group of youth that I had that are now in college, I'm so proud of them. Because one of the things that I instilled in them is once you get to college, you make it your first priority to find a body of growing believers, whether it's a church, whether it's a ministry on campus, find you godly community to patch yourself into. And those that did it were exposed to higher ministries, exposed to other believers, exposed to the word of God, and they actually got involved in ministry, and I'm so thankful for that. But then, like I said, there are those who did the exact opposite. And hear me when I say this. Hear me when I say this. When you connect with other believers and you all are growing in your walk with God together, you learn quickly that when you face hard or dark times, that is what the body of Christ is for. You need people that will jump in the foxholes with you when the bullets are flying and the bombs are dropping. And I'm going to tell you this. Your life will only be as strong as the close community that you keep. In godly community, there's the word of God, and also in godly community, there is accountability. Everybody has a blind side. You know, there's a saying that says, it's hard to see when you are in the frame. Sometimes there are things that are going on in our lives that really are not that good, that we can't see it because it's our life. We're in it. But a lot of times when you get in godly community and you start sharing your life with other people and they start sharing their life with you, a lot of times you can see things in each other's lives, and it's good to have that. Remember this, true godly friends will not lead you to sin. Acts chapter 2. This is when the church first started growing. And I love this. This is one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts because this is a snapshot of what the body of Christ is supposed to be. And let me say something. Let me say something. And I really want you to understand when I say this. The real body of Christ goes far beyond the four walls of the church when it comes to fellowship. Remember when I say fellowship, the definition of fellowship is who you are doing life with consistently. Who you are doing life with consistently. And let me tell you why that's so important before we read this passage. When I was doing college ministry, there were a lot of kids who would get into relationships and they would say, oh my goodness, I have found the one for me. I know he or she was sent from God. And when somebody says that, automatically my spider sense goes off and I'm like, that's a heavy saying. How do you really know if something or someone has been sent from God? Here's a very simple but profound definition. Watch this. If something or someone has been sent from God, it's not going to hinder your relationship with God. It's going to enhance your relationship with God. So if someone comes into my life, but the influence they have on me is an influence that's pulling me away from the things of God or the ways of God, that person was not sent from God. But if someone has been sent from God into my life, they're going to help enhance my life, even if they have to tell me things sometimes that is uncomfortable. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, as one friend does to another. It's the will of God that we sharpen one another. But guess what? When you sharpen iron, a lot of times there are sparks. Some of the greatest people in your life that God sends will be people who will love you enough because they love God first enough to be very honest with you when it comes to spiritual matters and decisions that you make. I'm not talking about some legalistic, judgmental person, but I'm talking about a person who's in your life and you're in their life. And when they see you making a decision or doing something that is contrary to what God's word says, they don't ignore it, but they hold you accountable to it. Acts chapter 2. And Peter has been preaching. People have been coming to Christ. And we're going to start with verse 40. And it says this. And with many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to encourage them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Verses 42 through 47 is very important. Notice what it says. And it's talking about the believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Watch this. And day by day, not just on the Sabbath, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You all, let me tell you something. That is the perfect atmosphere for believers. Number one, the Bible says they received the word of God together. They went to the temple together. They went to each other's houses where they broke bread. They ate together. They prayed together. They did life together. The Bible says that they would sell their possessions and take the proceeds and help meet the needs in the body. And the Bible says that God continually added to that number people that were being saved. Why was God continually adding to that number? Because that was perfect soil for new souls to grow in. That has got to be our mentality. Let me say this. When you have close Christian friends, people that pray with you, people that give you counsel, people that give you advice, when you have those kinds of people in your life and you have to make hard decisions, you have people in your life that are giving you godly wisdom. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says this in Psalm 1:1, it says, "Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." A lot of people read that scripture and they translate it as the company of the ungodly. It says the counsel of the ungodly or the advice of the ungodly. Do you know how many Christian people have made some very, very dangerous life decisions all because they received the wrong counsel? I told you this morning about my Jedi brothers. My Jedi brothers is a group of Christian guys that are deep into Star Wars just like me. And even though we get together and we talk about Star Wars and we have a running page on Facebook, that's just the surface. But whenever we have a problem, whenever we need prayer, whenever there's something going on in our lives, we always message each other. But when it gets real serious, and they live out of town, and I live in the southern part of Dallas, I got one who lives way on the north side of Dallas. Whenever there is a major problem or we all are being hit in different directions at different times, we drop everything, set a date, and we come together. And not only do we pray for each other, but we're able to vent, we're able to be honest. And as we are putting all our stuff on the table, we're always amazed at the godly wisdom that we get from one another. A lot of men don't have that. And a lot of times what happens is we find ourselves in desperate times, in desperate situations, and based on the company we keep, we get the wrong counsel. And from the wrong counsel, we make the wrong decisions. And from the wrong decisions come wrong consequences. All because we are not in that atmosphere. Physically, you don't go to the gym by accident. No one goes to the gym by accident. Because what happens in the gym is so tedious and so uncomfortable, no one signs up for a gym membership by accident. And no one especially gets a trainer by accident. When you step into the gym and you have a trainer, you know there is going to be a certain amount of discomfort in what you are about to do. It's needed. It's necessary. You want it. But sometimes you're like, man, I can't believe I'm about to do this. But because you know the end result, you're willing to put up with the discomfort. Sometimes the body of Christ is like a spiritual gym. Because let me tell you something, real good Bible study and real good godly community doesn't always pat you on the back. Sometimes it comes at you with a scalpel. God loves you enough to accept you as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay like you are. In Camp Gladiator, we have many trainers, but my most consistent trainer who I train with, because I'm in his group, is this guy by the name of Brandon. And I remember one day in this workout that we did, I'll never forget, it was in the summer and it was brutally hot. And even though we were working out in the evening, it was still real hot. And Brandon had us doing all this crazy stuff. And there were people in the group that were literally complaining about what he had us doing. Some people were even cursing behind what he had us doing. And I remember this, and I never forget it. Brandon said, "You all, I'm your trainer, not your friend." He said, "You all pay me to give you a workout. You all tell me you want your body to change. You all have certain fitness goals, and it's my job to get you there." Then he said this, "What real training does, it breaks you from who you are so you can be built into who you're supposed to be." That is what godly community does sometimes. Godly community is like spiritual boot camp. It takes you as you are, breaks you from who you are, and builds you into who God wants you to be. And at the end of it, you're thankful for it. I have a friend of mine whose her walk with God right now is so strong. But there was a time when it wasn't. And when we were much younger, she had one foot in the light and another foot in darkness. And she lived that life. Listen, you got to either be hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. Be in the light or in the darkness. The twilight zone is dangerous. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. They called the king's horses. They called the king's men. They couldn't put him back together again. But I used to wonder as a kid, if he was a massive egg, why was he sitting on a wall? And I remember on Sesame Street, they had this Muppet version of him that looked so scary. His eyes were squinted. And he had these big teeth. And he talked like, oh, and it was just... it just scared me when I was a kid. But I used to always wonder, why was he on a wall? If he's a big egg, that fragile, why was he on a wall? A wall is a divider. Either you're on one side or the other. Spiritually, when you sit or live your life on a wall, you're bound to fall. Watch this. Back then, I used to tell my homegirl, I say, you know the life you're living is not right. She was going to church every now and then, but really wasn't taking her walk with God seriously. And me and some other people were trying to talk to her, and she used to get so mad at us. And we still loved her, but we couldn't change her mind, and she just lived the way she wanted to. One night, she went to a party. And when she went to this party, she met this guy. And she said, "Byron, when I met him, he was so charming and so good looking." She said his charm outweighed his looks, even though he was gorgeous. "And he walked up to me and he shook my hand." And she said it began from there. She started talking to him. She started dating him. And when she told us about him, first thing we wanted to know is, you know, where does he stand spiritually? She said, you know, he knows about God. But knowing about and following are two different things. Come to find out, she started dating this guy. She started compromising herself sexually with this guy. And before you knew it, she was so tied up into him mentally and emotionally. And then she found out that the reason why this guy had so much money is that he sold drugs for his grandparents. Never heard of such a thing. He sold drugs for his grandparents. And when she told me that, I said, you need to leave this dude alone. This is not going to end right. But I love him. Watch this. She got pregnant by the guy and had a physically challenged son. When she had this physically challenged son, her whole relationship with the guy changed, and what was once a fairy tale now became a nightmare. And when I tell you he took her through the ringer and she went to hell and back. And finally, in this really broken state, years later, when the guy's out of her life, she's raising her son on her own, she finally comes back to the Lord. And when she comes back to the Lord, and after repenting, she is so focused and so strong in God now. But she's got these consequences in her life. And she said this. One day we were talking. She said, Byron, she said, back then when you and those other godly people that I knew were trying to get me on the right track, I fought it. And she said this. Had I stayed where I knew I was supposed to be, I never would have been at that party, and I never would have met him. And she said, Byron, I had no idea that when he shook my hand, I was shaking hands with the destruction of my destiny. Blew my mind. A lot of times, victory is being at the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing. A lot of times, victory is being at the right place, the right time, with the right people doing the right thing. And God can better navigate you when you keep yourself connected to godly community, which is the body of Christ. Listen. From the movie Predator, listen. In the movie Predator, the first one, which I think was the best, with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, and Jesse Ventura. When I first saw Predator, I was just so blown away because I thought that was the coolest bad alien that I'd ever seen. But in the movie Predator, there was when he was just picking people off and they did not know what in the world they were fighting, there was I think she was Cambodian. There was a Cambodian girl who could barely speak English. And when they are waiting for him, and you know, predators have that cloaking technology where they could like turn invisible. And the guys didn't know what was going on. But this woman said, this creature has been coming since I was a little girl, coming in the summer and hunting and skinning people. And she said, my people have a name for this creature. And she said the name, whatever it was in Spanish. And the name translated meant this. He is the demon that makes trophies of men. The demon who makes trophies of men. That always stuck with me. Whenever you have somebody who was destined for great things in God and who got away from godly community, got away from godly counsel, and just their life crashes and burns. I'm not saying God can't resurrect it, but some people crash and burn so much that they don't come back to the Lord, and they are like a trophy on the enemy's wall. My mother and my aunts, they love Saltgrass, the restaurant. And then they love Texas Roadhouse. Well, when I went to Saltgrass the last time with them, which is the last time with them, I was looking at this big buffalo head that they had on the wall, and I was saying to myself, man, I wonder how did they kill that? I wonder where was it? Now, I'm just thinking about the whole story behind it. And you all, when I'm thinking that spiritually, when you see people who are just, when you see ministries that crashed and burned, they're like trophies on the enemy's wall. And you're wondering, what went wrong? What went wrong? Last thing I'm going to say. I wore a picture. I went to a meeting one time. It was a Camp Gladiator eating event. And they were at, I can't remember what restaurant they were at, but I wore a Darth Maul shirt. And Darth Maul, people said, oh, he looks like the devil. He's an evil character, but I wore a Darth Maul shirt, and there was this woman there, real churchy lady. She kept looking at me just like I had something on me, and I'm like, is there a problem? I don't see why you have the devil on your shirt. And I said, he's evil, but he's not the devil. How can you say he's not the devil? The horns on his head, the red and the black. And I said this. And you all, it was so sweet how it happened. I said this. I said, ma'am, the reason why you will never see Satan coming and the reason why he will broadside you every time is because you're expecting this and he never comes like this. The Bible says Satan comes as an angel of light. He always comes looking like something good, but there's evil underneath it. He comes as a Senator Palpatine, but he's really a Darth Sidious. He comes always looking like something that's good. Why? Because he knows if he approaches us with something that's good or delightful, our defenses won't be up. I said that to say this. Lions and hyenas are enemies. Simba never got in trouble because he listened to a hyena. Simba never even really saw hyenas. He never dealt with hyenas. Simba got in trouble when he listened to his uncle Scar. Scar was a lion, his very uncle. Scar was a lion with a scar on his face, but the real scar was in his heart. And though he was a lion, he had the heart and the mentality of a hyena because that's who he was dealing with secretly. And because he hated Simba, he never ever directly told Simba what to do, but he always made him curious about what had already been condemned in the kingdom. Listen. Whenever Scar told Simba to do something, he always told him in secret, shh. This is our secret. The elephant graveyard. Oh, no, no, don't go there. Only the bravest of souls go there. Oh, I'm brave. And whenever he got in trouble, it was because he listened to Scar. And he never told anybody outwardly what Scar told him privately. Godly community should be an atmosphere where you can be honest about what you're thinking, what you've been told, so you can get godly instruction and correction. But watch this. If it's something you have to hide, 9 times out of 10, it's not of God. When I was doing college ministry, there was this girl who was dating this guy, and she would never bring him to Bible study. Never. Now, we didn't have a firing squad waiting for the guy or anything like that, but, you know, she was just always talking about this guy. She was just so into it. I was like, when are we going to meet him? When are we going to see him? And she would never bring him. And then one day she brought him. And you can't judge a book by its cover. But sometimes you can just sense things. This guy came to the Bible study all thugged out, kind of set with this scowl on his face. You know, we speak to him, say something to him. You know, he half speak back like he really didn't want to be there. Then when we're talking to her at the end, he kind of grabs her and yanks her by the arm and tells her to come on. And all of us, all we Jedi, felt a massive disturbance in the force. And so when we talked to her, those of us that were close enough to her, we told her our concerns. And she said, that's why I didn't want to bring him, because I knew if I brought him, y'all were going to say that. Then we found out that he'd been hitting on her in the relationship with South. And when she finally got out of it, she admitted, the reason why I never brought him around, it's because I didn't want to hear you all say what I already knew in my heart. Godly community will protect you. But you got to stay there. Camp Gladiator doesn't come to me, I come to it. The gym never comes to me, I come to it. Lord blessed me this early this year to get my fourth degree and my black belt. That training didn't come to me. I came to it. Same way spiritually. A lot of times it's not going to come to you. You have to come to it. You have to put yourself in the right environments. Two things in life that will make you or break you: environment and association. The places that you go and in atmospheres you put yourself in and who you do life with will either make you or break you. Let me borrow you real quick. I've been touching on you and feeding on you. Watch this. My favorite female in the Marvel Universe. In the Marvel Universe. No, not Black Widow. She's cold, but she's, no. And listen, when they finally remade her action figure and they made her the way Jim Lee used to draw her in the 90s, I was just, oh gosh, I feel like a kid on the Polar Express. But listen, my favorite female in the Marvel Universe is Rogue. Rogue, she's on the X-Men's team. And let me tell you something. The thing about Rogue is this. Whenever you see Rogue, she's always covered. She has to keep her skin covered. Because if Rogue touches you, shake my hand. If Rogue touches you skin to skin, what's ever in you bleeds into her. Your thoughts, your memories, your strengths, your powers, your weaknesses. And if she holds on to you long enough, what's in you becomes permanent in her. So watch this. So if Rogue grabs a hold of an awesome person, their awesomeness goes into her. If Rogue grabs a hold of an idiot, not in him, their foolishness becomes part of her. And so whenever she's in the world, she has to make sure she's covered, because she's got to be careful who she bumps up against. Watch this. God wants there to be intimacy with him, and God wants us to have intimacy with one another. The word intimacy means into me see. Y'all getting it tonight. Intimacy, into me see. Because watch this. When you get close in a, watch this. When you get close in a friendship, when you get close in a relationship, at some point, the gloves have to come off and there has to be real contact. David and Jonathan, when you read about their friendship, that was intimacy. And watch this. If you're going to take the gloves off with anybody, make sure the person you're making contact with is someone that what's in them is worthy to come in you, and what's in you is worthy to go in them. The problem is we are grabbing on to the wrong people and we're taking on the wrong stuff. Thank you. Does that make sense? So listen. And you all listen. Sometimes I've dealt with youth ministry so much. I've seen some awesome youth ministries, and then I've seen youth ministries that are so plastic and fake, it drives me crazy. And one thing that I pray for all bodies of believers is that we would really be authentic in our relationship with God and authentic in our relationship with one another. If there's something you need and I can meet that need, let me meet that need, and vice versa. If there's someone who you need to pray with you and talk to you and give you godly counsel and vice versa, I'm going to need that too. Because let me tell you something. Everybody has highs and everybody has lows. And who you are around and who's in your life during the low points will determine if you will stay low or if you will go back higher. So take your youth ministry seriously. Really get to know one another. Really bond with each other. And don't let anything sever those relationships. Because if there's one thing that God is about unity. Satan is about division. And that's what we're going to get into in the morning. Whew. The destruction of division. Anakin and Obi-Wan were close and around each other, but secretly divided. And had they not been divided, Anakin never would have become Vader. Whole nother story. He said, but then there will be no more movies. Wow. Tonight, when you go to discussion, here's what I want you to think about. Who are the people in your life right now that are truly connected to you? Who are the people in your life that are truly connected to you? And I don't want you to give the answer that you think we want to hear. I want you to give the answer that is really true. And you know something? I love dealing with people who are just brutally honest, even when their being honest isn't that comfortable. This one dude told me, yo, it was so amazing. You know what? I've never been a gamer, but I love to watch people who play games. Because, you know, video games now are like mini movies. And so I like to get with people who start playing the game and it looks like a movie. And then I'll go on YouTube and I'll try to find all the cinematic scenes just in a video game because it feels like a little movie. Like that's what I want to do with the new Gears of War 4. I mean, you know, I just really all the cinematic scenes, but watch this. I've never been a gamer, but when I meet people that are serious gamers, when they talk about gaming, it is so serious. It's like they're going to war. And there was a gaming convention. Listen, there was a gaming convention in downtown Dallas, and they were showing all these guys who were lining up outside on the news. And I was talking to this guy at a Comic-Con, and I didn't know he was one of those gamers. And then he started talking about all of the gear that he had and the headphones with the, it was brutal. And I was like, dude, you need to be in the military. So he's talking about all this stuff. But watch this. There was a guy that was visiting. He was coming to church with one of our youth. And he never joined our church, but he came with his friend. He didn't come a lot, but he came enough to where we kind of knew him. And I remember one day I'd ask the exact same question, who are the people that you really connect to? And he's a Christian, went to another church, part of youth ministry. And he said, you know what? He said, the kids that I'm around at church, I see them all the time and they see me. We talk and we eat pizza together. He said, but the people that are most connected to my life, I have never even met before. And I said, you've never met them? What do you mean? He said, it's this game I play online where I can connect with other people. And he said, I've been playing this game for like 2 years. I don't remember what it was, but he said, there are people who live in different states who play the game, and I met them through playing the game. And through playing the game, we become friends. And it's like, I really know them, they really know me, because we just share so much with one another. And y'all, that blew me out the water. And he said this. He said, I can tell them things that I cannot tell my church crew. Because if I tell my church crew what I tell them, I know they'll probably judge me and never see me the same. And y'all, when that kid got to talking, I was like, it's bad when the world offers more in a community than what we do at times. So getting back on that branch, who are the people that are truly connected to your life? That's number one. Number two, are these people influencing you, or are you influencing them? Are they influencing you, or are you influencing them? Number three, and if they are influencing you, in what direction are they influencing you? Is it influences for darkness, or is it influences for light? Influences for darkness, or influences for light? You know, I told you, we were talking about the Harry Potter movie this morning about killing the, destroying the Horcruxes. Isn't that what they were called? Yeah. I remember there was a scene in the tent where I think Harry and Ron got into an argument, and it was when that whole Horcrux thing was going on, and it was, you know, changing one of them. They were arguing, and the main reason why they were arguing is because they love one another to call one another out when they saw something really going wrong. The Bible says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." A friend will wound you with the truth because they know it's the truth, but an enemy will kiss you knowing you're headed for destruction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Father, if I'm running through the house and I hit my pinky toe on the coffee table, my whole body feels it. If I cut my pinky finger with a sharp blade, though that's the finger that got cut and that's the finger that's bleeding, the whole body feels it. So, Father, just as our physical body is deeply connected, our spiritual lives are deeply connected. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will uproot out of our lives any influences that are not of you. Any influences that will corrupt us, any influences that will weaken us in our relationship with you. And I pray that from this retreat, that paths and lives will be rerouted. Godly community is such a crucial part of our growth. And real godly community, Lord, is the ultimate safe zone. And I pray that's something we all would have. Deal with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.